Let us turn again to the part of God's word that we read together in the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 1, and we will read from verse 14. Mark chapter 1, verse 14. Now, after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye, and believe the gospel." The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye, and believe the gospel. When the Lord Jesus came into the world, he preached the gospel. And of course, the gospel means good news. And the gospel being the good news is Christ himself. Salvation by Christ is the heart, the essence of the gospel. He has come to provide salvation to poor lost souls, and that by suffering and dying for them, that they might not perish, but have everlasting life. Now the Lord Jesus is not only the Savior, but he is the King. He is the King, and his kingdom is a kingdom of grace, a kingdom which brings the blessings of salvation to sinners. And so he is preaching, the kingdom of God is at hand. Now, who will be prepared for the kingdom? Who will desire the blessings of the kingdom of God? Who will be ready to yield submission to the King? Only those who repent and believe. Only those who obey the call to turn from sin and believe in Christ. Christ is calling, "Repent ye and believe the gospel." And only these who repent and believe will be in the kingdom, and only these will have the blessings of salvation. And those who do not repent, those who don't believe, well, they do not receive the King, and they do not obey the King, and they are cast out of the kingdom forever. How solemn it is, how important it is, that we take heed to the call of Christ, "Repent ye and believe the gospel." And the Lord helping us this evening, we will consider first of all the kingdom of God. The Lord Jesus came preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. And secondly, the call to repentance. This is how we prepare for the kingdom of God, by repenting. He says, "The kingdom of God is at hand, repent ye." And then he calls them to believe the gospel. And that is the third thing, the call to believe the gospel. So here are three matters before us tonight, with the Lord's help: the kingdom of God, the call to repentance, and the call to believe the gospel. The time is fulfilled. Here is the Lord Jesus preaching, and let us hear what he says. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. First of all, the kingdom of God. Now, we read at this time that John the Baptist was in prison. He was cast into prison for his faithfulness, preaching against the immoral behavior of the king. And we are called to be faithful not only to imprisonment, but even to death. And we read that John was put in prison, and after that, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Now, Jesus had already begun his public ministry. If you look in John's gospel, you see there in chapter 1 that John the Baptist proclaims him to be the Lamb of God. And then we read that the Savior was in Jerusalem, and he performed miracles there, and many believed on him. So it was at that time that Nicodemus came to him by night and spoke to him, and the Lord Jesus told him that they must be born again in order to see the kingdom of God. And now the Lord Jesus is in Galilee. He is preaching there. He had passed through Samaria, and he came in the power of the Spirit, the gospel according to Luke tells us, which of course implies he had already begun his official work. And he came in the power of the Spirit, he came preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. He preached the gospel of the kingdom of God, and the gospel is glad tidings of great joy. It is the good news of the kingdom, and that is the good news of the reign of Christ, which brings the blessings of the gospel, the blessings of salvation. Now, this is the same message, basically, that John the Baptist preached. John the Baptist had come to prepare the people, preaching repentance, but he was preaching in regard to the kingdom of God, saying almost the same words as the Lord Jesus spoke after him. In Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, we read, "In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, 'Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" The kingdom of heaven is the kingdom of God, and it was at hand. It was coming, and the people needed to prepare by repentance, and that is what he preached. He preached repentance. "Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Well, let us remind ourselves, what is the kingdom of God? If we're to prepare for it, if the people were to prepare for it, and we need to be prepared by repenting and believing, what is the kingdom of God? Well, as you know, it's the rule of God, God's rule. Just as a king reigns and rules, so here is the rule of God, and the rule of God in the heart of man. It is God's kingdom, and God has appointed Christ as king. As we sang in Psalm 2, verse 6, we read, "Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion." So Christ is the king, and when he's preaching the kingdom of God is at hand, well, of course we're to remember that he himself is the king. And so the kingdom of God is the mediatorial rule of Christ in the hearts and lives of his people. So a kingdom requires a king, and a kingdom is a community ruled by a king. So it's the king's rule and realm, including the people of God ruled by the Christ, their king. Now, where does the phrase kingdom of God come from? The first instance that is summarized as the kingdom of God and Christ being the king is found in the book of Daniel. At least that's where it most clearly is seen. In chapter 2 and verse 44, we read, and in the days of these kings, that is earthly kings, shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. So the God of heaven sets up a kingdom. It's the kingdom of heaven. And it's the kingdom of God. God sets up the kingdom, and he gives the kingdom to his son. We'll read of that in Daniel chapter 7 and verses 13 and 14. We read there, "I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed." So this kingdom, the kingdom of God, is the kingdom of God's dear Son. And this kingdom includes the blessings of salvation. The blessings of salvation, and that's why it is good news. It is the gospel. Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. And so it being the rule of God, it is God's sovereign power, of course, that brings about salvation. Remember, God is the author of salvation. And he, God, has appointed his Son to be the Redeemer of his elect. He has chosen his Son to be the mediator between God and men, to be the prophet, priest, and king of his people. And now, the kingdom having been promised way back in the book of Daniel is now at hand. He came, Jesus came, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. The time is fulfilled. The appointed time for the kingdom to be established has come. So the set time for Messiah's coming has arrived. The time is fulfilled. The appointed time has come for the kingdom of Christ to be established. And he says the kingdom of God is at hand. So the reign of Messiah has approached. The kingdom is near. It is nearer than ever before. It's on the verge of being set up. It is just about to be fully set up, the kingdom of God. So again, he says the kingdom or the time is fulfilled. It's telling us that this is not something that is new, and it's not a new way of salvation, but it's the salvation of God most fully revealed. It has been foretold in the Old Testament. It's sinners were always saved through Christ, Messiah, Christ to come. But now Christ has come. He has come visibly, and his kingdom is to be established visibly and fully. The kingdom and its blessings have come. Yes, in one sense, the kingdom of God has already come in the time of Christ, in the person of Christ, in his public ministry. The Lord Jesus is speaking about himself in regard to his person and public ministry. He's already reigning over his disciples. So the kingdom of God has come because the king has come. And yet, as in regard to the economy of the kingdom or the dispensation of his kingdom, the visible organization of his kingdom, it commenced after he died on the cross and after he ascended into heaven. It was then by the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost that it was visibly evident that he was reigning. His kingdom was established, sending his ministers to preach the gospel to every creature and gathering a people to the king as his subjects. You see, it's the kingdom of God that affects the constitution of the church, and Christ will always have a church to worship him on earth, the kingdom of God. And the Lord Jesus is here preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and he is saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. So he is preaching the gospel of the kingdom. It's the reign of Christ, his kingly rule, which ushers in the blessings of salvation. The kingdom of Christ is good news indeed, because it brings salvation. And salvation is good news. Salvation to sinners on the way to eternity, deserving hell forever. Christ comes, he's the Savior, and he brings salvation. He's the King, and he has kingly power to bestow the blessings of forgiveness and pardon and acceptance with God. And he's preaching. Think of that. The one who we preach is preaching. Christ the King is proclaiming himself to be the King who gives salvation. The time is fulfilled, he preaches. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. The word preach here means to proclaim after the manner of a herald. And John the Baptist was a herald. He was the forerunner. He was preaching Christ to come, and how Christ has come, and he is preaching the gospel, and he himself is the Savior of sinners. The good news is that the kingdom of Christ is now being established. That which the prophets had predicted has finally begun. And again, that's why the kingdom was being set up, for this very purpose of saving his people from their sins. This is why he has come, that he might destroy the kingdom of Satan and deliver his people from the tyranny of sin and the devil, and give the blessing of grace and salvation to sinners, that they might receive forgiveness and the inheritance in heaven. So there it is. The king has come, and the king brings salvation. This was prophesied of in Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation. This king brings salvation. Lowly, yes, he has come. He's preaching in synagogues. He was baptized by John the Baptist. And so he had humbled himself to be here on earth, born of the Virgin and growing up in Nazareth and preaching in Galilee. And we read, and riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. So the Lord Jesus came in humiliation, and yet he's the king. He's the king, bringing salvation. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation. Salvation. It is no ordinary rescue, no ordinary deliverance that Christ brings with him. This salvation that Christ brings, the salvation that the king brings, is deliverance from the greatest of all evils, the greatest of all that is troublesome and calamitous. The greatest of all evils is sin and misery and eternal punishment. He delivers sinners from the greatest of all evils, and that to experience the greatest of all blessings, to enter into eternal blessedness in heaven. Well, this is good news. This is the glad tidings of great joy, the gospel of the kingdom of God. And those who are truly affected by their sins will rejoice that salvation is offered to them. They will be glad that they're hearing the good news, because it's glad tidings. And that's what John the Baptist was sent for before Christ, to prepare the people for the kingdom of God, so that they would appreciate the arrival of the king. He was preaching the repentance. They needed to be awakened to realize their sinfulness. And John the Baptist was a herald to preach the coming of Christ and prepare the people by pointing out their sins and showing them their need to repent. And so Christ has come. The kingdom of God is at hand. And as we said already, the king has come. Christ died and rose again, ascended into heaven. He was exalted, sitting at the right hand of God. His kingdom has been established. So what does this mean for us? When Christ has already come and the kingdom of God has already come? Well, we're to remember that the kingdom of God is still coming. And that is exactly what we're to pray for. The kingdom of God is still coming in the sense that it's increasing and expanding. And we're to be praying that God's will would be done here on earth as it is in heaven. There's so much that is yet to be done. The world has not yet been fully conquered for the Savior, for the Christ the King. And so we're to be praying that, for example, the gospel would be propagated throughout the world, the Jews would be called, the church, the fullness of the Gentiles brought in, the church be furnished with all gospel officers and ordinances, and purged from corruption and countenance and maintained by the civil magistrate, and the ordinances of Christ purely dispensed and made effectual to the converting of those that are yet in their sins, and so on. This is quoting the larger catechism. And that's what we're to be praying for, that the kingdom of God would come, that it would be advanced, and we would be brought into it and kept in it. And so, are we prepared for that? That's the question. Are we ready for the coming kingdom of Christ? Or is it the case when the kingdom is fully established, we will still be found outside the kingdom? You see, that's why we need to prepare. That's why we're hearing the gospel call still. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. And that's how we prepare, by repentance and by faith in Christ. And this is what God requires. God requires faith in Jesus Christ, repentance unto life, with the diligent use of all the outward means whereby Christ communicateth to us the benefits of redemption. And so, with the Lord's help, we will consider what the Lord Jesus is calling us to. Repent ye and believe the gospel. In the second place, then, the call to repentance. The call to repentance. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Yes, as we said, the people were called upon to prepare for the kingdom by repentance. And that is absolutely necessary. Repentance is absolutely necessary. Christ is coming in his kingdom. He's coming. He's the coming one. And are we ready for his coming? He's coming for sinners like you and me. And how will we welcome him without repentance? When he comes, is there going to be room in our hearts for his coming, to receive him? We will not be prepared for his coming and for his kingdom if there's no desire to welcome him. Without repentance, the Lord Jesus will be an unwanted guest. If we're in love with our sins, then there will be no desire for his coming, because he comes to take away our sins. So we need to prepare for the coming of Christ and the kingdom of Christ by repentance. The kingdom of Christ. You see, we need to be in the kingdom in order to be saved. And without repentance, we will have no right to enter the kingdom. Without repentance, we're not qualified for the kingdom. Without repentance, we will remain rebels and foreigners. Because as we are, we have no desire for the kingdom of Christ, no desire to submit to him as our king. That's what the Word of God tells us, that the natural man is spiritually blind, and therefore by nature we cannot see the spiritual aspect of the kingdom. We have no eyes for the beauty of the king. We have no love for his ways, no desire for holy things, no desire to obey his laws. What are we then? We're rebels, having no love for the king. And so without repentance, what will happen? We will be isolated from his kingdom forever. This is what the Lord Jesus told Nicodemus, did he not? He said to Nicodemus that what is needed is the new birth, a spiritual transformation, real, true conversion. He says to Nicodemus, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." If we're not thoroughly changed by the Holy Spirit, we will have no share in the blessings of the kingdom. We will not be forgiven. We will not be in the family of God. We will not be sanctified. We will not be prepared for heaven without the new birth. And so we will remain excluded from the blessings of salvation forever, excluded from the kingdom of God. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. But the wonderful thing is, the Holy Spirit implants spiritual life in the soul. That's the work of God, the Spirit, to give a new heart and to enable us to truly turn from sin, truly to repent. Yes, the kingdom of God brings salvation, and salvation includes repentance. This is good news. The gospel brings the blessings of salvation. But see, we're not going to receive the blessings without repenting. So in order to prepare for the kingdom, we must repent. Repentance is necessary, absolutely necessary. To be ready for the kingdom, we need a saving change. That's what repentance is. It's a turn, it's a change. It's literally a change of mind. It involves reflection and thinking on our condition. It's not just an outward change, but it's an inward change. It's not just sorrow for sin, but it includes both sorrow for sin and reform, turning from sin to God. This is what our catechism teaches us. As you know, repentance unto life is a saving grace whereby a sinner, out of a true sense of his sin, so there's reflection, there's understanding, there's a change of view regarding our sin, a true sense of sin, and apprehension of the mercy of God in Christ, doth with grief and hatred of his sin turn from it unto God with full purpose of and endeavor after new obedience. New obedience. So it's a complete change. It is an inward and outward change, turning from sin to God. And as far as our experience is concerned, it begins with understanding our sinfulness, being convicted or convinced of our sin. It's the work of the Spirit to reprove the world of sin. And so this convicting work of the Spirit, it begins before faith exists, because we need to see our need of Christ in order to go to Christ. So when the Spirit is working, striving, it begins with opening the eyes to see that God is angry with us because of our sin. The wrath of God is revealed against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, so that the jailer in Philippi is saying, "What must I do to be saved?" He hasn't come to Christ yet, but he's being convicted. And that's the work of the Spirit, to show us our need, so that we see our guiltiness and our condemnation. That's what John the Baptist was preaching, repentance, to prepare them for Christ so that they'll see they need Christ and that they would then desire Christ. They would welcome one who can save them from their sins, which they now feel. So this is why I believe that the Savior preached repent and believe the gospel. It's repentance first. We need to see that we're not right with God. We cannot enter heaven as we are. We need to be changed. We need to repent. We have offended God. God is angry with us. And when we see then how our misery, our sin and misery, then we will be ready to hear, like John the Baptist then preached, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." So friends, this is why we preach the law. Because the law is our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, to drive us to the Savior. We need to see our need of Christ. We need to realize that we have offended God. We have rebelled against him. And therefore we're to humble ourselves before him and cry for mercy and flee from the wrath to come to Christ, the only Savior from sin. And this is God's command. It's the call of God to men everywhere, Paul says. He preached in Athens, and he was making it very plain to the people he spoke to, he preached to, that the times of ignorance in the past, people did not understand, they did not know God, And God overlooked that for centuries. They were still punished for their sins, but God did not deal with them as he is now dealing with us, and that is in a way of commanding people to repent. God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. So this is not a suggestion for us. This is the command of God. This is the requirement of the king, and the king is preaching. Jesus came into Galilee. He's the king, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and saying the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye. He's calling to repentance, calling us to turn, calling us to a complete change. It's almost equivalent to saying, be converted. Jesus said that on another occasion. Except ye be converted and become as little children, ye cannot in any wise enter the kingdom of God. You must be converted. You must be born again. You must turn from your sins. You must turn from sin to God in new obedience. Are we hearing his call? Are we desiring grace to obey his call? He's calling all men everywhere to turn to himself. But how can a sinner turn to God? Well, the answer, in short, is only through Christ. You see, the call to repentance is a call to come to God, and to come to God in his appointed way. And that, of course, is through Christ. So repentance implies that we come to God in the way he has revealed in his word, the way that is proclaimed in the gospel, and that is through Jesus Christ, his Son, the one mediator between God and men. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. So, friends, what that is telling us is that we are to repent and believe the gospel. So we come in the third place to consider what the Lord Jesus tells us, what he is preaching in Galilee: believe the gospel. The call to believe the gospel. The gospel is good news. And the good news is that the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God has come. And why is it, and what is the purpose of the kingdom? Once again, the purpose, the reason that his kingdom has come is to bring salvation to sinners. The kingdom of Christ is erected for the very purpose of saving his people from their sins. The kingdom of God brings the blessings, the divine, kingly, royal blessings of pardon, of forgiveness and acceptance with God. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Let's focus for a moment on the connection between repentance and faith. It's a very interesting and profitable discussion. Faith and repentance, both are connected. And you see, we need repentance in order to believe. If you consider how repentance is an inward and outward change, it's requiring saving grace. And how can you believe in Christ when you're still blind, spiritually blind? You need a new heart. You need an inward saving change. You need your eyes opened, a spiritual renovation. And this takes place in repentance. But also, we're not to think that we need to wait and repent and then believe in Christ. We're mistaken if we think that. You see, both are required. Both are a duty even now. We're required to repent and believe. And why would we not? The moment we know that God's wrath is over us, what's our duty? To flee from the wrath to come. So we're not to wait, first I need to repent, and then eventually I'll believe. No, the call is to us simultaneously. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Furthermore, the very call to repentance shows us our need of grace, right? And where are we going to get grace from? From Christ. We get grace only through Jesus Christ and from him, the King. And then again, as we've already indicated, what is repentance? Repentance is turning from sin to God. So we must, in repentance, come to God. But there is no other way to come to God but by faith in Christ. He's the mediator. So to truly repent, we are being called upon to believe in Christ. Believe in Christ for salvation. In fact, the Catechism includes that, the apprehension of the mercy of God in Christ in repentance. There's no true repentance. There's no true repentance without faith in Christ. So both go together. Here's the connection between repentance and faith. To repent, we must come to God, and we can only come to God through Christ. To repent, we must believe in Christ. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Repent and believe. Believe. Believe the gospel. Believe the gospel to be true. Don't be saying in your heart, oh, it's too good to be true. The blessings of salvation are out of reach. Well, that's unbelief to say that. I'll never be saved. It's too good. It's for someone else. That's unbelief. We're called upon to believe. First of all, to believe the gospel is true. To believe salvation is offered to me freely. Without money, without price. Absolutely free. We're to believe that that Christ has come and that salvation is real. We need to believe that forgiveness of sins is sincerely offered to us. It is the well-meant gospel. God sincerely offers salvation and forgiveness of sins by Christ to us. The free offer of the gospel. This is the good news of salvation. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Believe the good news. Receive the good news with joy. And we're to believe the gospel by receiving, welcoming and receiving the blessings of salvation and welcoming Christ the King who brings salvation with him. Receive the King. Do you receive him? Do you desire him? Do you long for his salvation? Repent ye and believe the gospel. But the words are in the original, literally, believe in the gospel. Believe in the gospel. Which tells us that we're not only to believe the gospel to be true, but we're to believe in the gospel, that is, rely on the gospel as the means of salvation. That is, believe in Christ. Trust in him. Rely on Christ whom the gospel reveals to us. The gospel proclaims a Savior, and we're to believe in and trust in the Savior, relying on him to take away our sins, depending on him to save us from our sins, depending on him to cover us with his righteousness. Believe on or in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. We're to receive him and rest on him alone for salvation as he is offered to us in the gospel, and no one will perish that trust in him. Repent ye and believe. Believe in the gospel. And this, again, is not just an option for us. It's not a suggestion, but it's a requirement. It is a divine requirement. This is a command of God. Jesus is God, and he is calling us, he is commanding us to repent and believe. John the Apostle tells us in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 23, and this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son Jesus Christ. So here is God's word, here is God's call, here is God's command to us, repent and believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. And he assures us that if we depend upon Christ, we trust in him, these blessings of the kingdom belong to us. Those who truly believe in Jesus will have an interest, they will have a share in all the blessings of the kingdom. They will experience deliverance from the greatest of all evils, and they will be brought into the enjoyment of the greatest of all blessings. They are delivered from the guilt of their sins. They're not condemned. They will have passed from death unto life. They will be brought into the family, the spiritual family of God, adopted sons and daughters of the King. God makes his people princes in all the earth, and the name of Christ is remembered. It's a wonderful thing to be in the kingdom. David says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, as a member of his family, as a son of the King. And what wonderful blessings, what grace, the privileges of the people of God. They are sanctified by the Spirit. Their garments are washed in white. They are purified in their souls. They are conforming to Christ, having been brought to submit to the King. They are more and more loyal to him, more and more ready to serve him. Now, this is the ongoing work of the Spirit, increasing their graces, and also to give them assurance of pardon, assurance of his love, peace of conscience, joy in the Holy Spirit, increase of grace, perseverance. What privileges those who are in the kingdom enjoy. Those who believe in Christ, they belong to Christ. They are within the kingdom, the spiritual kingdom of Christ. His rule has been established in their hearts, and this is a spiritual kingdom, remember? It does not consist of mere rituals and ceremonies, as the Roman Catholic Church and its kingdom would suggest, a mere outward observances and going to the Roman Catholic priest for confession and for mass and all these outward things. No, the kingdom of God, Jesus says, is within you. It's within you. It's a spiritual kingdom. Yes, there are duties required. Yes, there is outward means to attend to it, and hearing the word of God preached and being baptized and coming to the Lord's table. Yes, there are outward duties. Of course there are. There's the fruits of good works and all these things that are observed by the human eye. Yes, that is true. But remember, it begins within. And God gives wonderful blessings to comfort us within our hearts. As Paul says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And friends, this encourages us. It should encourage you to seek the Lord Jesus. It should encourage you to believe in him. Go to him. Go to him. He will receive you. He will not turn you away. He will not cast you out of the kingdom. No. He says, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. He's inviting you. He's calling you. Yes, he's commanding you. Repent ye and believe the gospel. The kingdom of God. The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. So the kingdom of God has come already, as we've said, but it's still coming. The kingdom of God is still coming. We're to be praying that the kingdom of God would come. The kingdom is expanding. It's increasing. And friends, now more than ever before is the time to prepare for the kingdom by repentance and faith. Are we ready? Or are we not ready? Will it be the case that others are brought into the kingdom, but we're still lagging behind? how that should awaken us and cry out, may it never be. Oh, that it would not be the case that others are entering into the kingdom and they're entering by great numbers into the kingdoms, but we're still left out. We're still behind. We're still outside the kingdom. No, this should awaken us to seek to enter the kingdom with all our heart. Or when we think about the church, when the kingdom of God is coming and expanding and advancing spiritually, when the church is growing spiritually and the members are becoming more and more holy, are we still going to be among the visible members of the church who never knew what self-denial was? We never really loved holiness, and we were never really willing to suffer for the kingdom of Christ. What a call this is to even those who have made a profession. Jesus is saying, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. We all need to repent. None of us can say we've reached the highest measure of repentance and there's no more work to do. God's people will be repenting for the rest of their lives here on earth. But you see, the point is just now that if we never knew what repentance was at all, and we never knew what self-denial was, and if we're not willing to practice self-denial in smaller things, what makes us think that we are ready to make sacrifices for the kingdom of Christ in greater things? If persecution should come and precede the coming of better days in the church, are we ready? When the better days of his kingdom come, but before there is trouble and there is greater persecution, are we ready for that? The kingdom is coming, but we don't know how it will be ushered in. There may be trouble ahead, but are we seeking to repent and believe? It's a call to make sure that we have truly repented, to make sure we have saving grace in our souls. Have we truly repented and believed? Do we have the evidences of it? Do we really hate sin as sin because it offends God, because it crucified Christ? Do we see the evil and mischievous nature of sin? Do we grieve over it and desire to turn from it? Do we desire new obedience, wholehearted obedience, sincere obedience, universal sincerity, that is in all the ways of Christ's commandments? As Peter said, that we would be holy in all manner of conversation, not just in outward duties, not just when we go to church, not just when we have family worship, but in our interactions with others, at work, in the home, when there are stressful situations, when there are things that go against our nature, do we desire to be holy in all aspects of life? That's what repentance is. It's to have a full purpose of and endeavor after new obedience. And do we have the fruits of faith? You see, that's how we can have greater assurance of our readiness for the coming kingdom of Christ. When we not only repent and believe, but we're adding to our faith, as Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, sobriety, self-control, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. We're to have a well-rounded Christianity, not asymmetrical, just a little bit here and a little bit there, but seek to have all the graces. That's how we're ready for the kingdom of Christ. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. And we're warned again, friends, that those who do not repent and do not believe, those who are saying, we will not have this man to reign over us, what's going to happen? They will be shut out of the kingdom forever, cast into outer darkness. But it's not just for the people outside the church. No. We might be thinking, well, we're in the church, and those words that we just heard, that's suitable for the next door neighbor, that's suitable for people who never keep the Sabbath and so on. No. You see, again, do we have grace in our souls? Are we seeking grace with all our heart? It's not enough to be in the kingdom in an outward way. It's not enough to be in the visible church. Those who do not truly repent and believe in Christ, even though they're baptized, they will be cast out of the kingdom. As Jesus said so solemnly, perhaps one of the most solemn statements in the scripture, he says, "And I say unto you," Matthew chapter 8, verse 11, "that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, but the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Oh, friends, to be faithful, we must call upon you to repent and believe. Seek the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart. Don't rest on an outward profession. Don't rest on baptism. Don't rest upon the fact that you attend family worship and public worship. You must go to Jesus. And it's not enough just to have some impressions. It's not enough just to have some curiosity and interest. Even seriousness is not sufficient. It's not salvation. Without Christ, you will still be shut out of the kingdom. You need true repentance, vital godliness, real saving faith. And don't rest until you have found Christ and you know that you have found him. When you have grace and the evidence of grace, when you have repented and you have the evidence of repentance, when you have truly believed and you know by the fruits of faith that you have believed. And don't rest until you're in the kingdom. Press into the kingdom. The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. And pray and say, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." Repent and believe the gospel. Be converted and look to Christ, praying, "Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." Let all of God's people who are in the kingdom, though there may not be much visible evidence that the kingdom of Christ is coming, we may see spiritual declension around us, and yet we're not to despise the day of small things, but to plead the promises of his word and be thankful for what we do see of the evidence of his kingdom. Be thankful for what he has done for us already and what he is still doing today, and be doing all that we can for the promotion, for the advance of his cause in the world, like Nehemiah and the people, doing what we can do by his grace, stirring up ourselves, encouraging one another in the work, laying hold of his word, Jesus' word, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Friends, Christ's kingdom is coming. Christ himself is coming. He assures us, "I come quickly." Well, let us pray to be ready, so ready that we desire his coming. And we are saying in our souls, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." May he bless his word. Let us pray. O Lord, enable us to give thanks for the word of Christ and his call to us. Indeed, his command to us, repent and believe. We are not left to ourselves to decide what ought to be done. We are to heed the voice of Jesus Christ to our souls at this moment and believe, oh, to seek that grace and to truly turn and to truly believe. Lord, help us, for we are weak and can do nothing of ourselves. But this is what Christ meets us with, his own grace. The Holy Spirit is offered to us, and thou dost give the Holy Spirit to those who ask thee. Hear us then as we call upon thy name. Bless each and every one of us in the congregation, that we would call upon thee and we shall be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hear us then, and pardon our many sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. We shall conclude singing to God's praise from Psalm 2. Psalm 2 and verse 9. Thou shalt as with a weighty rod of iron break them all, and as a potter's sherd thou shalt them dash in pieces small. Now therefore, kings, be wise, be taught, ye judges of the earth. Serve God in fear, and see that ye join trembling with your mirth. Kiss ye the Son, lest in his ire ye perish from the way, if once his wrath begin to burn, lest all that on him stay. Psalm 2, from verse 9, these three stanzas. In conclusion, thou shalt, as with a weighty rod of iron, break them all.